Hey guys, it's Andy here in another episode of the Mountain Malarkey podcast with Dave.
Hello, everybody.
How are we doing, Dave?
Yeah, not bad.
We realised that when we do the Tuesday tune-in over on Facebook, which we've been doing during lockdown, we had some comments and requests around, you know, not everyone's on Facebook, but people still wanted to hear about the content. There's been some great stuff. We've talked about bags. We've talked about Battle of the Treks. We talked about trekking boots, mindset, fitness, loads of stuff. And we thought to ourselves, well, why don't we turn these into podcasts? Because, like you said, Dave, they're sitting down listening for an hour.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is a great format. You can do it on the go, put it in your car, listen to it. It's a bit interactive, so you're going to have seen us answer questions and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's a little bit different.
You know, but if you're listening to this, obviously, and you have any questions about any of the things you hear, podcast@evertrek.co.uk.
Awesome, Dave. Yeah, enjoy the episode, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Yeah, all the best.
Today, I feel like we've chatted about kind of some intangible stuff. You know, our feelings, our opinions, our thoughts around stuff. But today we wanted to go to physical stuff. And when we haven't talked about kit for a while, and no, we're not talking about yet that lovely computer in a car from an 80s TV show. We are talking about everything to do with kit.
Yeah.
It's something that, Dave, I know is your favorite pastime.
My favorite topic, yeah. I mean, every time we would have a discussion and we're like, what should we talk about in the Tuesday tune-in? I'm always like, boots. And I always get shot down, except for today. But we're going to expand it, aren't we? We're going to do a deep dive. Essentially, start with a metaphorical empty bag and fill it with our suggestions.
We can fill it with different kit. And obviously, you know, we know that, you know, some if people are going trekking, places like Everest Base Camp, places like Kilimanjaro, places like Machu Picchu, you know, all the different adventure treks in the world, kit is massively important. Mm-hmm. So anything around kit, any questions you have, anything... We can talk about boots, we can talk about Maindal Bhutans, we can talk about anything at all. Drop them in the comments because that's what we're here for. We want to get your kit questions answered today. But I want to go back in time.
I want to go back in time to
2016.
2016. Ah, I remember that year.
It was a great year.
I was a younger man.
And I want to bring a little bit of history back. So this is...
I remember that well.
so there's a lot of light coming in here, so I hope you can see this. I'll try and angle it so you can see it. You're not going to be able to read what's on here.
Should I hold it close to the camera for a bit, do you think, so you can get a good view?
You can have a little view, but I think imagine it, it's kind of like a pirate map. I can see heavy down jacket, Turkish Airlines. I can see a little bit of information. Now this was a gift actually from Dave, which was maybe a slightly different gift that I gave you in 2016, which is the gift of advice.
Yeah, so I repaid it in 2018, Christmas 2018.
Which was a... Thanks, mate. I've loved that ever since.
Yeah, so... yeah.
What is
that,
it?
What that was. So I think we'll have to go back even before. So we worked together in Lloyd's.
Painful time.
Yeah, such a happy time.
Not because we worked together, but
then I left, you left, and but we were kind of, you know, like what I would say at that point is like we're like pretty, you know, friends, but you know, not like close friends, but we were friends on Facebook. And what we never got a chance to talk about when we worked together in Lloyd's was our sort of mutual love of all things sort of mountaineering, trekking, adventure, travel. It was mainly banking, interest, refunds, and loans.
We don't talk about that stuff anymore.
Yeah, but then
only in finance means.
But I had started to get this sort of itch that I wanted to go to get to Everest Base Camp, which had always been a dream of mine to sort of trek in the Himalayas to see Mount Everest and to experience that. I'd never been to high altitude before, not even on a skiing holiday. In fact, the highest I'd ever been up until that point was probably somewhere in the UK. So I sent Andy a Facebook message because I saw that he had actually been out there trekking and I was following his journey and the live updates. And then I saw one when you were back in Namche and I thought, I'll just drop him a little comment on Facebook. And I was like, oh, when you're back, any chance, you know, you can meet up because I'd love to pick your brain about, you know, Everest Base Camp, how you got there, what you need, all that sort of stuff. And you replied and said, when I get back, we'll meet up. And we did.
We did.
In Cardiff, in Bill's restaurant.
Well remembered.
I remember it like it was yesterday, because I even remember what you were wearing.
Oh, wow.
Not what I was wearing.
I do remember what I was wearing last week.
You had the brown insulated Crag Hopper trousers.
So literally like I was trekking.
Like you were trekking. And the Rab Infinity Pro Endurance with hydrophobic down.
That's right. I've still got that jacket, actually. Yeah. It's battered.
And when we were sat there, we were going through all of these, all of these things. And I started to get a lot of information. So I said to the waitress, you know, I just asked, I could borrow a pen and paper. She brought me the pen, but the only paper she had was a receipt.
The receipt.
So what I started doing...
The receipt.
What we inadvertently did was we created Evertrek's very first equipment list.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was, eight years ago. Sorry, get my maths right. 8 years ago. And, you know, a lot of things have obviously moved on. You know, there's a lot of tech out there now. There's a lot of... Obviously, we've got equipment lists. We've got guides. You've got planners for trips. You've got a lot of... Obviously, we've got the Tuesday Tune-In. YouTube videos, is podcasts, is a lot out there right now, a lot of information. So we kind of moved on from, receipts now, hopefully. But it's always nice to kind of go back to the roots and feel. I think one of the reasons, I think, we started this channel was to try and just answer these questions. And I think it's always important to start there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we can now grow and navigate from that into actual equipment.
Yeah,
because we got some props today.
We have got some props. Yeah,
got some good
props.
I
mean, I'm wondering, you know, just because it's a nice place to dive in, should we do the five now?
We can do. I think we can go for the five, because we've obviously got the head to toe kit that we're gonna discuss. I know we've done similar ones like this before, but. You know, we're gonna maybe talk about some of this kit more in depth. So we might not go through every single A to Z here. It would be a very long time.
What would Z be?
That's got me thinking now. Yeah. What piece of equipment with a Z?
Yeah.
Z. Sorry, this is all I have to get this. If anyone has any suggestions on what kit you need that begins with the letter Z.
I think I might have one, but it's not. It's a bit of a
is
cheat.
Is it a bit of a escape? I want to see what comes in.
Yeah, Z poles. The folding poles.
Are they called Z poles?
Yeah,
though?
Some of them call them Z poles, yeah.
Oh, I don't know, Dave. It's got to begin with a Z.
You know, it's got to actually begin with a Z.
And he's using Google.
No, I'm just checking that Z poles is a thing. Yeah, see, Z poles. See, they're a thing.
Z poles?
Yeah.
Let's have a look. Hopefully, I know Pratesh there. Let's have a look. Ziploc bags.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I'm sorry, I'm excited. I think Elaine, I'm gonna I like that. Ziploc bags, that's a good one. And you know, is a key piece of equipment. I think Ziploc bags, great for keeping electricals, power banks,
poo,
phone. What Dave said, locked away, which is good. So Ziploc bags, I like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, we might not get to Ziploc bags, but hopefully we'll do the first bit.
Yeah.
There we are. Zed packs. There we go. Carl has dropped in as well. Look at this. This is the hive mind now.
Yeah.
In action. This is fantastic.
Yeah.
Right then, let's get to this five pieces thing.
Yeah.
And then we'll move on to the actual kit. We do have a couple of announcements today as well, which we'll come to. So yeah, it's going to be a busy one. Right, straight on to you, Dave. Five pieces of kit you can't leave home without.
So
what are you going to go for?
The first one that I will do is the Therm-a-Rest blow up sleeping pad mattress mat sleeping mat.
Wow,
this is it.
Okay, I like that. Yeah.
The reason why I don't ever go on any trek without it is because a lot of mine is kind of around a good night's sleep.
Okay.
Because if you have a good night's sleep, you can tackle anything the next day.
Yeah.
If you haven't slept well, then you're not going to have such a wonderful time.
Yeah.
Now, this one has done... I know it's been to Kilimanjaro twice. I've used it like quite a lot, sort of in the UK and stuff, just camping.
It's still got volcanic ash on
there. It's still, yeah. This is kind of tinged with the Kilimanjaro. Yeah. What I love about it is that weighs absolutely nothing. It doesn't weigh anything.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
It doesn't take up much space. Like that can, you know, that can sit in your day pack and you wouldn't even know it's there if you don't want to put it in your duffel.
Yeah.
But a good night's sleep can be had with this. And also, as it's a Therm-a-Rest, it is really good in cold environments. So keeping the what happens on a lot of mattresses is obviously you will lie on it. and your heat will dissipate through the mattress and be lost to the floor.
Yeah.
Why Therm-a-Rest are so good is because they're made in a way that the that your own body heat is sort of reflected back as opposed to lost.
So whilst you're talking about sleep, then I'm gonna raise you.
Mm.
Something to block out the noise of you sleeping.
True. I mean,
that is actually one thing.
Yeah.
And these are Apple AirPods, by the way. They do have two uses. Obviously, to listen to music or podcasts or videos. But most importantly, it's to block out the noise.
Yeah.
Because they do. And they don't last forever. They do help. They certainly help me. Especially if Dave does bring the Therm-a-Rest along.
Yeah.
It enables me to get a good night's sleep just as him.
Yep, perfect.
right then, what's your number two?
My number two is, in fact, these exact sunglasses.
They're not yours, though.
These are your ones. But these exact sunglasses are the ones that I take everywhere when I go.
You inspire me to get that.
Trekking.
They're good choice.
Well, yeah, I bought these in Namshi in 2019. And ever since then, I've used them on every high altitude trek that I've ever done and skiing trips. These are the Jublo Reactive.
Yeah, they're very good.
So they actually move from category 2 to 4.
Yeah.
And so they're really, really good.
They're not the cheapest out there. They're about £140 a pair.
Yeah.
But I've worn them skiing. I've worn them in really windy conditions. They do have little side bits that clip on as well.
Yeah.
So they're more like wraparounds. Obviously, you know, if it's really bad weather or if you're on, you know, a Himalayan peak, you know, you're going to need more of like ski goggles, essentially, to make sure that you've got full protection. But, you know, in quite chill conditions, these are pretty good.
Yeah, and these are amazing. I mean, I think anytime you've been on like a really snowy peak in 30 degrees, you know, which happens.
Sometimes.
Yeah, the reflective nature of the sun really hurts your eyes.
And a few Andes today. Andy Platt, Andy Price, Andy Scott.
Yeah.
Any more Andes? And it's great to see so many Andes on.
Yeah, and we actually did a trek in Wales recently in the snow.
We did.
And yeah, use these. They were fantastic. So yeah, wouldn't go anywhere without them. Highly recommend them.
They are good shades. And they're good for a hairband too.
Yeah, yeah. on to you now, your second.
Ooh, my second. Nothing to do with sunnies, I suppose. For me, because clearly you're organised, Dave, and got it written down.
I did have to delete headphones.
As you can see. Oh, what is that? Sorry.
I can come up with the fifth one as we talk.
Now, for me, just thinking about it, I think if there's one thing I don't leave home without, and actually there's one thing I don't put in my duffel bag, I always wear them, and that's my trekking boots. Because it doesn't matter what happens on the plane, you know, if you lose your bag, you know, you need a decent pair of walking or trekking boots.
Yeah.
So that's something, and I know that seems quite boring because obviously you want your good trekking boots. Some people don't though. Some people wear trail shoes.
Yeah.
I personally like a little bit more ankle protection because, I've worn my ankle years ago and it's just become a bit of a weakness and it's happened numerous times, over the years, whether I'm wearing Maindl Boutins, whether I'm wearing La Sportivas or North Face, Hedgehog GTX, Salomons, doesn't matter what it is. I seem to roll an ankle every now and again. So, yeah, definitely that's why I wear my trekking boots. So I wouldn't leave home without
them. Yeah, you do roll an ankle, I think, on one out of every four trips, I'd say.
not quite that much. Not quite that much.
I highly agree as well. I mean, you can use like the shoes and stuff like that, but I think that if you're not used to those and you're just concerned about the weight or something like that, I mean, the weight between shoes and boots, you know, you put on boots, you notice they're a bit heavy.
Negligible these days. Negligible.
Exactly. But when have you ever sort of trekked in boots and after a while thought, oh, God, these are so heavy. Like you put them on, you get used to them. So it doesn't really bother me.
Yeah.
So
what's number three for you, Dave?
My third one on El Listeru is, see if I can remember it. Trekking poles. Now, again, an obvious
Ooh,
one,
nice.
But we haven't actually got a set to display with. But yeah, I love.
Can
love,
imagine a trekking pole. Now.
Yeah, just for something long and thin. but yeah, I absolutely will not trek without them. Now, I absolutely love them. It was a slow burn for me transitioning from you know, not using them ever to using them. I'm not sure whether that was sort of the closer I got to 40, the more I used them. But I will say that as someone that has had a knee injury, from now on, they are a staple. Like, it doesn't matter what trek I'm doing, I'll almost always bring the poles with me. I think particularly at high altitude, they're such a good tool to have. Yeah. If you're trekking up quite a steep hill at high altitude, having the poles to kind of help drag you up there and to lean on and stuff like that, they're just so good.
I like it. What's talking about knee injuries? I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Bear Hug. There we go. Dave, that's for you.
No, oh, thank you very much.
I know, you know, just in case of your dodgy knees.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, really, really good. It's not one of my top five, though, because luckily my my knees are okay at the moment because I use trekking poles quite a bit.
Yep.
Very useful, though, if you do have any issues. Don't forget, it's quite a relatively new kind of partnership with Bear Hug. But if you're booked on a trip, go to the members area. So when you log in to where you can manage your trip, and you can you get 20% off their knee supports, their wrist supports.
Yeah.
They do a load bunch of good ones. Yeah, really, really a lovely team as well. You know, I know they work a lot in sports, but I've met you know, some of the owners there and the guys that run it. Really nice people, and they got great product as well.
I have started using them as well.
Yeah.
And I will say, as something of a knee support aficionado since 2021, they're really good. They're nice and soft. They're like bamboo, I think. But what I really like about them is little details. Like on the top rung here, you won't be able to see it, but there's like this sticky bit. One of the things that knee support wearers will hate is that when they start sliding
down. That's a good point, actually. I didn't pick that up.
Oh, I despise it. You need to wear them a lot. Right?
that's the thing.
Over time, you pick up on ones that really do your head in. Yeah. So I resorted to a neoprene one, which doesn't move, but it's really sway, really sway. This is breathable. It's nice. It's really soft.
Bamboo as well, is it?
Bamboo, yeah. It doesn't chafe. It's got the nice little bit up here so it doesn't slip down. Yeah, what I really like about them as well is that these little indicators here, see, so the back of the knee, front of the knee.
It's well made.
Just helps you get it positioned correctly on your leg.
Yeah.
So, get a bit.
Good promo. No, honestly, we just wanted to throw them in. They're a great team. You know, and I know a lot of Evertrekkers suffered with knee injuries, you know, shoulder injuries, other stuff. Yeah, they've got some good products. So I know there's a lot of knee supports out there, but
yeah,
great team there. And obviously you get a little bit of discount as well. So happy days.
Exactly.
Right, for
your third-o.
My third. See, you could tell this is off the cuff now, but honestly, for me, the boots, the earphones, I do like to bring, most of the time, I like to bring a good camera.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong, obviously iPhones are great. You know, whatever phone you have, but it's something about, you know, I like my photography, so I like to take my camera with me. And I know it's we're trying to be lean on weight here. It is a challenge, especially, you know, when you go into places like obviously if you're flying into Lukla and they're really strict. Obviously you can carry it. I do like to take my camera. Memories are everything for me, and you know, I want to try and capture that and those moments, especially like. Obviously, you've got the landscape stuff, but then you've got the stuff with the group. You know, you don't want to feel like you're at a wedding, you know, taking photos all the time. But you can capture those kind of candid moments. Yeah. And I always get the photos of clearly some of Dave where he's not quite looking. And I'm like, get the camera out.
Yeah, yeah. There's many. There's one of well, actually, you've got a video of me like running out of a toilet in on the way back from the refuge in Tupcal.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember?
I remember that. That was funny.
Pretty much
that
being sick.
You were being sick.
Yeah,
that was very.
That was the one of the worst toilets I've ever been in. That one rivaled Gorwich.
It was. It was en route, wasn't it? The refuge, somewhere you stop. It was part of the adventure, right?
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Yeah. No. Really good. I'm actually happy when you bring your camera as well because I don't take any pictures ever. I don't know why. I'm not very good at it. And if I'm with someone, I'll think to myself. Yeah. If they're taking a picture, I'll just get them to send me that one.
Brian makes a good point there. Hey, Brian, I hope all is well, mate. A sense of humour. I think that goes without saying, if you're an Evertrekker and you're on this live today, I like to think there's a lot of humour in the, there's a lot of bants going on. You know, I think you gotta have a laugh, haven't you? You gotta have a laugh. You know, life's too short.
No.
Sense of humour is integral.
I'd agree.
It should be in the kit list, that's for sure.
100%. I think my next one is a water purification bottle.
Mm-hmm.
There's about 20 of them over there.
I was going to say, we got some over there.
I think they're really... Is there one behind? No, it's a beer bottle. water purification bottle. You got the water to go ones that are also Evertrek branded, but there's tons of other ones out there that you can get as well. Camelback do a line of them as well. For me, it's really vital because I have a sensitive stomach. I think if I come within 50 feet of any type of bacteria, I'm going to have severe issues. So, when it comes to like brushing your teeth, drinking water, everything like that, I don't take any risks anymore. I've been caught out too many times. Too many trips have been made 20 times harder than they needed to have been because of that exact issue. Yeah. So now water purification bottle always.
It's big. Yeah, exactly. Great to see you. Diane, how you doing? Observation, I think you need more picks. Tom Akea route, 100%. If there's anyone on the live today who has any of those pictures, it'd be great to share them. We're always looking for Evertrekkers to, obviously we're not on trips all the time, but it'd be great to get some more pics. Anyone who's out there, I know we've recently put requests for some Merapeak. I know Zach, obviously who manages a lot of our content and our imagery and videos. Same with Tom Akea. We do need some more pictures of, there's a bunch of trips, especially the more kind of ones we've launched over the last like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Be great to get some more. But good to see you, Diane. I hope all is well. Jane mentions Imodium. That is a very good point, actually. Very good.
To be honest, if I've, especially if I've forgotten my water purification bottle, Imodium is the next best thing.
It is.
Got me through a flight back home from Kathmandu, that did.
Right. As a fourth for me, I do like to wear a good hat.
Yep.
I am a hat. I tend to not go away without it. And obviously I've got one here. And this is another plug for a great brand, Cliff. There we go. We do get some Cliff freebies from time to time.
Yep.
But no, I generally do like to, I haven't fixed this at all. This is going to be quite, there we go. That's bright, isn't it? It's very white.
That's a white hat. That's a white hat. That's not been up Killy, I can guarantee you.
So this hasn't seen active duty yet, but it wouldn't look white on a trip like Killy. But just to demonstrate, I always take a hat.
Yeah,
wouldn't leave home without one.
No, I agree. Yeah, pretty important. Pretty damn important. My final one would be a pair of Crocs.
Nice. Oh, wow. Okay.
Because if I lose my trekking boots halfway up a mountain, you can always put them in four-wheel drive and get them. But the main reason is as soon as I'm done trekking, I kick those boots off, let the feet dry out and air out and walk around in the Crocs.
I like it.
Yeah. And it'll also give you a safe way to get to the toilet without putting your boots on and getting wet socks.
I like it.
Yeah.
Final one for me.
Yeah.
Which actually you have got one over there. One of our ones from Nepal, actually. That's it.
Yep.
It's one of our shiny ones. Remember during COVID, we did a fundraiser.
Yeah.
Strides for Guides, and we raised some money. This is one of the last remaining. Obviously, it has Everest Skydiver.
Yeah, that's got an Everest Skydiver branding on it.
It has, and Evertrek.
So yeah.
I always take a down jacket with me on any trip I go on. Not always the big one. It depends on where I'm going. But I do tend to take a down jacket with me, and I put it in my day pack as well. Because they fall down quite nice, they're very light, and I do even a mountain in the UK. We definitely, it's just there's that moment sometimes that the cold can come out of nowhere, and I like to have a warm jacket with me at all times. And a lot of the mountain guides I speak to, Brecon Mountain Rescue, anyone in the mountains, and it's something I've always done out of habit, is I always carry one with me in the bottom of my pack. Just in case. It's something I never like to leave home without.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
No, yeah, vitally important, definitely.
Which seems nuts if you're going to somewhere like Morocco, Marrakesh, or you're going somewhere like Moshi. But if you're on the summit of Toubkal or you're on the summit of Kilimanjaro, you're going to need it.
Having said that, though, I wore mine in Morocco. I remember in the evening it got quite cold.
Yeah, actually, I remember.
So a lot of the time, the down jacket, I think, on these trips, if you're not doing a winter one, gets taken out in the evening, doesn't it? When you're sat around having a chat, chilling.
Definitely.
Awesome.
Well, look, that's the five pieces. Hopefully some useful stuff there. I know a lot of questions. We do have some more bits of kit because I know we've talked about boots. We talked briefly about down jackets there. We do have another piece of important equipment that, is on majority of our trips you will see.
Yeah.
And this is the RAB This is the Ascent 700.
Yeah, all your branding has come off the bag.
I wouldn't look at the branding on there, but trust me, there's a rab in there somewhere. Yeah. Sleeping bags, obviously massively important.
Yeah.
Many, many different ones out there. A lot of people asking, do I need a 3-season, or I need a 4-season? Obviously, there's different comfort ratings on there. Always go by comfort rating, by the way, if you're looking at a sleeping bag, because that will essentially show you what comfortable sleep will look like. You know, some of them are quite expensive. You know, you're talking, you know, 200 plus. You can get the Bri remembers. Yeah. Don't wear your down jacket on a night out in Cardiff, Andy Moore. I remember that. That was, wow, mate, good memory. That's about 4 years ago.
It's a Patagonia, wasn't it?
Patagonia, yeah. Yeah. Somebody's got that walking around Cardiff.
Yeah.
I got a replacement now, luckily. But yeah, that was a sad, sad morning. Wondering where my jacket was.
You've got a history of jackets.
I have. It's because I take them with me and then I don't actually use it. And I put it down and then the night just runs away with me.
Yeah. And someone runs off with the jacket.
Yeah. Over the years. But no, sleeping bags, very important. Mm-hmm. Obviously, some of the trips that we do, you can, like Nepal, you get free hire of the trekking stuff. If you're going somewhere like Kili or Machu Picchu, you can rent it at nominal price. Just if you're doing that. Same in. If you go into Morocco, some places you know you don't actually need it. You know, if you're sleeping in huts and things like that, you can kind of get away with a kind of thinner sleeping bag. You know, we're talking about Tour de Mont Blanc that Jerome mentioned, obviously very, very soon, and a couple of the Yetis are going this summer as well.
Yep.
Yeah, sad that we weren't able to make this summer, but a couple of our Yetis are. Because the huts are quite well, you know, they're quite warm, even though you're quite high up, summer months, you know, it's not going to really drop below kind of 10, 5 degrees, that kind of thing. So you don't necessarily need a 4-season for that. You know, 2 to 3 are probably fine in the mountain refuges. And some of them do have blankets and they're quite nice anyway, especially the Italian side when you're in the refugios. They are.
Yeah, really nice.
Brilliant. They are prontissimo.
I've been to base camp, mind, and never used my sleeping bag on one trip.
Really?
Yeah. It was
because you had the duvet?
September, yeah. Nice. I just didn't need it, so I used it as a big like pillow to prop up on. And then I went in October one time, and it was freezing from facting, like crazy cold every night.
Oof.
Yeah.
And, it depends, doesn't it? That's why, and it's hard because... You take, you know, that like that there is probably best part of 1.5 kilos.
Yeah, no, it is.
For that, it's a chunky bugger as well, you know.
But if you're clever,
but you need it.
Like, there's that much space, but always in mine, I'll stuff like pants, socks,
nice.
You know, like
cheers, Darren.
Hats, gloves, all sorts of like things. I'll just stuff in there as well. So it's not just a sleeping bag that goes in there. You've got to be quite clever with how you sort of pack these things.
Yeah, exactly. Go on, Dave. What else you got? What goodies have you got for us, mate?
One thing I'm going to pull up now, which I think is really good to have in your bag at any one time, is lots of dry bags.
I like it. There's a few different ones.
There's a few different ones in here. I think there's even more in here in this.
I don't know.
There's something in here. So have a look.
It's probably a Thermarest.
It's a Thermarest. Mm-hmm. Where's your thing? Yeah, it's a green Thermarest.
Yeah. We'll leave that one. Yeah, we covered that.
So we covered Thermarest. but look, he lost his...
Useful. That is an old bag, that one.
Yeah, so these are really good. So there's all sorts of different ones in here. You can pull them out, all different sizes and colours. Nice. I think they're really, really good to have. It helps keep things organised. It helps separate all the sort of dirty from the clean.
Very useful.
Yeah, and also, you know, I know that a lot of the mountain rescue people, they colour code their bags as well. So they'll have like blue for water stuff, red for something else. And I'm not sure what it all means, but when they open their bag, they'll have colour coded stuff.
Yeah.
So in your own mind, you can develop the same system just for knowing where sort of all your bits of kit are.
Exactly.
Really, really good. And also these are great as well if it does rain and you don't have a rain cover. Yeah. I recently bought an expensive... Not recently, but like a year and a half ago, bought an expensive Osprey jacket.
Okay.
A bag, and it didn't come with one of these.
Really?
Didn't come with like a
some of them used to over the years, but
And it was like the top of the range one.
Sometimes.
So now what I'll do instead is I'll have a dry bag inside just to keep everything nice and safe.
Nice.
Really useful. 1,000 uses for those when you're out on the mountains.
I'm going to switch gears a bit because we do have a bit of an announcement today. So we obviously, if you've been around the EverTracker community for any length of time, you'll know that we like to run certain competitions from time to time. What are we thinking this one is, Dave?
I think this is the Brian's going to win it competition.
It is. There we go. I'm going to enter that. And then here we go. So, yeah, this time we're running a free trip for two people to Kilimanjaro. We haven't done one on Kili for a while. Yeah, some of the team were like, we should do a Kili one. We want an opportunity for two people to go to Kilimanjaro. So, yeah, I thought I'd give you first refusal. Yeah, if you look at the link there, you know how it works. Get yourself in, and then you will never know.
Yeah.
And I know Bryce says he'll never win one, but, hey, it's random.
Yeah.
So you never know. We've had previous EverTrackers win them before. But, yeah, good luck to all who entered, and obviously share away. You know, we really appreciate it. Everyone, you know, I see a lot of EverTrackers sharing on socials and really appreciate it. You know, get involved. Obviously it's, and even if you've done Kili before, if you do win, you know, cause I know a lot of EverTrackers have already done Kili. You could choose another trip at the same value.
Yeah.
Definitely get entering and get sharing.
No. Awesome. Yeah. One of the best, trips I've ever done. Kilimanjaro.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. Kili is, it's a special one. It was the last one we did before COVID, which kind of messed with all of our minds. It was literally a matter of weeks before, wasn't it? I think I actually had COVID on Kili, but it was...
I shared a tent with you, but I think I had it before I left.
Yeah, you did.
Because we did the Adventure Travel Show in January, and it was in the news then, wasn't it? But it wasn't exactly arrived.
Mainstream, yeah.
But I got really ill, fever and that for a while afterwards. Then you got ill, and then we went to Kili.
And you still, at least we summited Kili.
Summit or Cairn. But but that was amazing. It was it was peculiar coming back, and the last ordinary thing we did was summit Kilimanjaro. Everything was weird after that.
It was,
which was amazing in a way, but also strange in a way.
It was interesting. It's weird because I know we moved on. It feels like it's a lifetime ago, but also not. You know, because it doesn't feel like that long ago that we were on the summit.
It's mad to think that over four years.
Yeah, literally 4 years and a couple of months now.
Yeah, have passed.
28th February 2020.
Yeah.
Mad.
That 4 years since then. But, you know, that's what two lucky people will be saying in 4 years and 2 weeks from now.
Exactly.
They'll
exactly.
be saying, wow, I can't believe that I won that trip and I went and that was 4 years ago.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Brilliant.
Some good, loads of good questions coming in as well. Yeah, keep them coming, by the way, because we still got a half hour to chat about all things kit. Even if it's off on a tangent, Stuart, that is completely fine. It's a safe zone to chat about anything at all, mate. So good to see you, Stuart, as well. I hope it all is well. Obviously, got his summit picture from Kili.
Amazing. I will say one thing and I think a few people will like resonate with the same problem is that when I am buying my kit, there is one thing that's always like at the forefront of my mind. That's overheating. I run hot.
Okay, so you want to try and cool
down. I want to try and cool down. A lot of the clothes that I buy, annoyingly, lead you into the expensive aisle. Because you want to buy stuff that's high wicking, breathable, has a lot of vents, stuff like that. I think a really good pair of trousers that I used on Kilimanjaro, and I would use them if I was to go up Island Peak, are the, oh my God, they're just, literally names just gone. I know they're Rab, I think Vaporize.
Well, the gloves?
No, trousers.
Oh, the trousers. They're really good.
Remember the ones I borrowed them to you when you were like, oh my God, they're so warm. They're like fleece lined.
Yeah, they're probably a bit too warm for me. Unless it was proper cold weather.
But
a battle.
This is the thing.
Yeah.
You got the vents.
That's true.
You have got vents that open like pretty much from your hip to your knee.
Nice.
And they get a lot of the cold, you know, the cold to you and cools you down. They're really, really good if you do overheat.
Yeah.
Another thing is obviously base layers, super important for everybody. But if you do sweat like a maniac, you're gonna wanna perhaps bring two or three more than the person next to you, because like if I'm doing base camp and it's relatively warm, particularly in the lower altitudes, wear one, then the next day wear a new one, and then the day after that wear a new one, and then the day after that wear a new one, and then by the time I go back to the first one, it's dried out and it's totally fine to use again.
Exactly.
Bringing there's nothing worse than putting on a cold, wet, sweaty base layer.
Or you could, as Andrew has said there, buy a granddad string vest. You could look like, what was it, granddad off Only Fools and Horses.
Yeah, that's a good point. There was one guy who I saw on EBC in full tweed.
Wow, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Like full tweed, I wouldn't recommend it for trekking though, you know.
But that's what they used back in the 1920s when Mallory was there.
Yeah.
Slightly different era.
Yeah, true. But yeah. He was like, yeah, it looked like he was out hunting a stag. It's like what he looked like.
It was different, wasn't it? Lots of questions as well, which is really good. Do you use sock and glove liners? I've used, Simon, really good question. Glove liners, definitely, because some gloves can be, you know, they're only for the cold. It's good to have kind of take the edge off gloves, which, you know, if you've ever been skiing, you can see you buy gloves with an inner layer and an outer layer. And I think in the trekking world, because, you know, you've got a lot of conditions managed then in those two layers. You know, if it's windy and you just want to take the edge off, the inner layer comes on. If it gets really bitey, if the temperature drops, if you're hiking in the dark, or, you know, there's snow, you know, it's really cold weather, then the other one goes on. You know, or you can take out the inner liner, put the big one on, and it works well. So, yeah, I've certainly used glove liners. Sock liners, you ever used them? I've never used them myself.
No, never. I've heard a lot of people say they make a big difference in terms of... you know, keeping your feet warm. Also, they can help with blisters.
Yeah, good shout. Yeah.
Personally, I've never used them because I've always found that if I buy the merino wool socks, and you can buy like light, midweight, and heavy ones, that I've always managed to find the right sock for the job. But certainly, I know people that do.
Yeah. That's it. If it works for you, it's and it's trialing it as well. Sometimes, you know, I suppose you don't want to turn up on a trip and like, oh, what am I doing? What am I doing? You know, get out in the UK or whatever you are, just get using some of the gear that you would use on the trip.
Yeah.
Familiarity is great, and then you know then what works for you but experience.
Very, very valid point there, I think, about that. You need to find out what works for you as well, because me and you will go on a trek. We've done hundreds together. Quite often our kit looks quite different in terms of what we wear.
It does.
The basics are the same. We wear boots and trousers and whatnot. But in terms of when you've got a jacket on and I haven't, and gloves and whatnot, it's all quite different.
It is. Yeah.
Jumping into the queues then. So Carl Zappel.
Hey, Carl.
Wait for this question.
Is it to do with weight?
It is, yeah. is it a biggie if the duffel bag and rucksack are over the 15 by a long way? What is the penalty per kg over the limit?
Good question.
It is a big deal in as much as that they offload bags that are over 15 kilograms. So my advice to you is to if you're doing Everest Base Camp, is to keep to the 15 as rigidly as you can. If you're slightly over, it's not the end of the world. I'm talking like maybe a kilo. But even then, I would be looking what in my bag can I put in my pockets to kind of lessen the weight. Like I said, I've gone and my bag is usually around 14 kilograms.
Yeah.
I've seen other bags that are much heavier, but the risk is, and this has happened to someone who I actually trekked there with, their bag was around 17.2, something like that. And when they arrived in Lukla, all the bags are offloaded and you kind of go and grab your bag from the plane and theirs wasn't there.
Yeah.
What ensues then is a horrible panic, because you then have to wait for a plane that's light enough to accommodate your heavy bag. And you're in a little bit of a scary point, because if the weather comes in, they won't get your bag to you. And it'll be like a day behind and we'll have to rush it up. So my advice is to avoid all of that headache. Just try and religiously stick to the 15 kg. There are a couple of cheat codes by wearing your boots. Make sure there's no water in there. Fill your pockets with things that are heavy, like snacks and battery packs and things like that. And just keep the bare essentials for the trip.
Nice. Really, really good question. I think, just to add there, you know, what was the penalty? Over the years, it's kind of changed. I think it used to be, and it's not too different now, is that it's about a pound per kilo. It's not a lot. Historically, we used to say you can get away with it. It's just they're a bit more stringent these days. Obviously, we'd love to say take what you want, But unfortunately, these rules are kind of placed on us, especially because, you know, there's a little bit of a bottleneck getting to Lukla. It can be a little bit chaotic. That's just the way it works in Nepal. You know, we try and make it as organized as we can. Sometimes it's chaos. The bags don't always land if they're over a certain weight because they're trying to save on the weight.
It is for safety as well.
It is for safety.
The reason they have the weight limits is because they're trying to account for the weight of the individuals on the plane.
Yeah.
And the last thing you want is an unsafe plane going to Lukla. Google it.
You know? I wouldn't. Jerome, good question. Kit, I have pretty much everything. Of course you do. Even the rocks. Is there any kit I need specific to TMB, so Tour de Mont Blanc? Not really, because majority of the kit that you use for one trip is quite, you can get away with it on a lot of different trips because it's similar to the kit you need in the UK. And obviously, if you're going to climb a peak, if you're going to do any technical kind of type of trek or climb, then that's different. If you're going over a certain height. But yeah, Jerome, with TMB, you just the stuff you've used for Killy, for going to Nepal, very, very similar. Yeah. If anything, because it's a relatively shorter trip, maybe you might not need as much with you, in terms of obviously packing and, you've obviously been on a couple of trips now, you know what works for you. So I'd say, you could put a list, it'd be the same stuff as you took to the other trips, definitely. Obviously, it's the summer months as well. So I'd certainly make sure to take, sort of sun protection. Sun cream, just think about your lips, maybe some lip balm, just because it's kind of the summer months rather than going in a cold environment. It won't be as Baltic as some other areas that you've been to, mate. So
yeah,
hope that helps.
Awesome. I just lost it then because a new one came in. Okay, Alison Morgan, I think I'll have to wear a walking shoe as you've got a problem with your Achilles, so should bring gaiters to keep the debris out. Yes, 100%. If you're gonna wear shoes instead of boots. I totally get it. We always recommend boots over and above everything else. But if you have a physical limitation where boots are not possible and they cause you a lot of problems. So I'm sure there are some boots out there that you can trial. But again, it is expensive. But to trial and error your way through getting the right boot. But yeah, if you are going to wear a walking shoe, 100% bring gaiters because you will be removing stones from your shoes every 30 steps otherwise. Because EBC, Killy, Machu Picchu, Morocco especially, there's a reason why they call it Morocco, is because...
I never thought about it.
Yeah,
like
well, I was well here, it's like, Morocco, okay.
I'm going to use that.
Yeah, wow. So there is, it is very sort of shaley and rocky and stuff like that. So 100% gaiters are a really good idea.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to bring one in from Amanda. I know we've kind of talked about poles, sleeping bags and stuff. Are they always available? So in Killy, in the hotel, Springlands Hotel, I'll be using, you can hire those piece of equipment there. They're generally always available. It shouldn't be a major issue. Some people, take their own, but you can hire them in Moshi. Hopefully that helps, Amanda. And, you can obviously save a little bit of money. I know instead of purchasing the equipment, you can just hire them. I'd say poles are probably the cheapest item out of those two, no dramas if you get there and you haven't got those items. When you have the briefing, we'll check what gear you do have. We can make sure that you've got those to use.
Yep, awesome. Andy Awol says, if you're a coffee addict like me, do you take an AeroPress and your own coffee? Bit bothered about a withdrawal headache as well as an altitude headache when I go to Killy in September. So you absolutely can do if you want, if you if you have some specialist coffee and stuff like that, those AeroPresses are quite cool. But we do provide teas and coffees for you to have. But it's more about, I guess, if you want to stop and have a drink of coffee when you're resting during the trek, mainly it's sort of at the ends of the trek in the morning and the afternoon when you get access to the teas and coffee. So 100%, by all means, if you want to bring it with you and bring some coffee, go for it, mate. It makes you happy.
Yeah, Andy, I'm a massive kind of coffee person, so I understand what you mean there. That being said, actually, some of the places I know you're going to Killy, some damn good coffee in Killy. And obviously, as you're going up the mountain, might not always be available, but you do get teas and coffees and things in the camp. But yeah, if you're into your coffee and, you know, it is part of your kind of daily routine, I'm sure if you took something, that'd be perfectly fine. Obviously, you don't want too much at altitude because, you know, too much coffee can dehydrate you, can't it? But, you know, if that's what you do as part of your daily habits, then you're right. You want to tackle the adverse effects of not doing it just by going kind of cold turkey on it, you know. But yeah, really, really good point. Sorry, Dave, I'm just looking. Actually, I think this is from Will. Hey, Will, how are you doing? Sorry, this isn't kit related. That's okay. Doing tube count at the end of May. Great time to go. Would you recommend some sessions at the Altitude Center prior? Yeah, sure. I mean, anytime you go to the Altitude Center is great. You know, there's obviously, there's two ways of looking at this. You don't have to go to the Altitude Center. You know, you'll go into Toubkal, it's not extreme altitude. You go in just over 4,100 meters and you're not there for that long. So altitude doesn't really come into it as much as if you're on a, you know, like a 10-day trip, like 11 days, like you're in Everest Base Camp. But, you know, it is good because if you're out there at the Altitude Center, you can jump on to some of the altitude masks, test how your heart and how your body's reacting to it. You know, it can help psychologically as well. Obviously, there is a flip side to that as well. If it shows some adverse things and it'll you know, it gets you feeling a little bit anxious. So, but at least you know then where you're starting. I'd say if you're going to go in May, it's not that far away. You know, it won't really make too much of a physical difference just by going there, you know, once or twice. I'd say you have to have a longer period of time where you may be sleeping in altitude tents, that kind of stuff. Tried and tested, drink enough water, go slow, to enjoy yourself in Toubkal, I think would be the best form of action this late in the day. But that being said, it's not going to harm you in any way. Just go into the altitude center and just having a chat with the team there.
Yeah.
So yeah, let us know how it goes, Will. Yeah, obviously, if you live close by, I know they're in London. If you're there and you know, you can book some time in with James and the team, go for it.
Yeah,
definitely. Let us know you get on.
Awesome. I saw one a second ago that I was going to read. Jerome asked, what do EverTrekkers have in their first aid kits?
Good question.
So, yeah, when you go to the trip, the guides always carry the vast majority of everything that you'll need. They have a full, you know, mountain guide, fully equipped high altitude first aid kit.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's always good to bring your own. I always kind of do have a bit of a first aid kit with me. To be honest, most of the time mine's just full of
pills.
Pills, so sort of
the good stuff, not the dodgy stuff.
Yeah, nothing bought from independent people in Newport, you know. Right, so it's all pharmacy grade. But yeah, just things like ibuprofen for the knee, paracetamol if you get a headache.
Yeah.
I'll often have some sort of hydration salts in there as well. Always I'll bring some like zinc oxide tape with me.
Yeah.
If you have blisters or anything like that, it's also can be used to like strap your knee up and things like that if something was to, if you need it. I think that's more or less it for me, to be honest. It's mainly just like surface things, plasters, maybe some compeeds and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Scissors, nothing too major, you know, because almost always on a trip like the ones we do, there'll be a guide. So if there's anything like antibiotics or anything like that, you can get that from your guide and they'll keep you safe and healthy and everything you need. What you need is just stuff to keep you ticking over, you know.
Yes.
Stuff you don't want to annoy your guide about.
Yeah, exactly. No, you are right. Like I used to maybe be a bit more risque and not take one, especially on one of my first trips to Everest Base Camp. But then I do now just because I've got some stuff there, or even though, you know, I know the guides have all got it covered. If, you know, if you're next to someone and they've just maybe cut their hand on something and you're there, you know, and you can help out, it's something I just consciously do. So yeah, it's for things like that, obviously with your own, treating your own injuries as well. And sometimes, yeah, just like you said, hydration stuff. Mm-hmm. If you've got a dodgy belly, sometimes I put some Imodium in there, you know, some hydration, like diorolite stuff, that kind of helps, any backup stuff. So yeah, you can get, I know Nomad do, they do a lot of sort of travel packs, like first aid kits, and some of them have got some like antibiotic stuff for dodgy tummies. We call it the Brad Pitt kit.
Mm-hmm.
Very powerful and works if you've got a dodgy belly.
I've got to replace mine because it's been raided.
I wonder
on more than one occasion.
Stay away from the fish, Dave.
It's not me. That was the
Brad it was Pitt. Someone else. Yeah, yeah.
It was someone else on Kilimanjaro nabbed it all.
wasn't me.
Yeah.
Right, we got a few more cues coming in. Sorry, Dave, my WhatsApp was timed out there too.
That's all right.
What do we got?
So Michael David Vickers said, when traveling abroad, is a Revolut card accepted in most places, but mainly in Nepal? I'll be honest with you, it's probably best to look up where Revolut are accepted. Now, most of the time, I think it functions the same as a normal debit card. So usually anywhere that you can spend a debit or a credit card will accept a Revolut card as well. I've not known any place that doesn't. Having said that, we had a big issue when we were traveling skiing one time, remember, and it wouldn't take it at the tolls.
That's right, in Spain. So typical, isn't it? You buy one to use for traveling and it doesn't work while you're traveling.
Yeah.
It can be quite frustrating.
Exactly. I think certainly check with Revolut to see if it obviously if it has the functionality to work in a country. If it does, then I'd imagine most places where you can use your debit or credit card, you could use the Revolut card.
I've used it in South America. It's fine in Peru. I used it briefly in Miami. Revolut, this is. So, you know, it is, it's quite a well-used and well-known card now. In Kathmandu, you probably get away with it. As you get higher, I'd say in Lukla or in Namche, it might be a bit risky. But it obviously provides you with that kind of barrier of safety, doesn't it? Because if you lose it, it's not gonna be used type thing.
You know what I was wondering, and this is this is something that I would probably ask if I was watching the Tuesday Tune In there, even though I should already
know the question.
Even though I should already know the answer to this, what is the benefit of having a Revolut card over just my normal debit card?
It's very true. I don't mind the Revolut card. I actually bank with Nationwide, but Revolut I think is more secure apparently. I think they've got a lot of behind the scenes features going on. It's quite cool. I think you've got different pots if you want to manage your money, have like a travel fund, have one for the bills. I think there's loads of stuff like that. I don't know. There's obviously I don't work for Revolut, but I wonder what the benefits are of it.
Because I'm with Barclays.
Okay.
And everywhere I go, I just use my debit card. I've never used Revolut. There's another travel one as well, I'm sure there was, but I can't remember.
Monzo.
But I'm not sure, if there was something to do with the immediate currency exchange using Revolut.
It does have there's some FX
based on
benefits.
What rate?
You get a slightly better rate.
You get slightly better rate.
As if you the old school way of going to like a travel agent.
Yeah.
And changing your money or the post office and then taking cash.
Mm.
It's just another way of not taking cash without jeopardizing your normal bank cards.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's why Monzo, that's because over the last kind of 10 years, they've really become something of a thing, haven't they? I've certainly seen them a lot. Some friends, family have used Monzo. I've used Revolut. They're pretty good.
Yeah, because a mate of mine uses Revolut. I never bothered to ask him why. It's interesting. Maybe I'll look
Jay
into it.
Jay makes a good point, though. It's if your card was compromised, your current account won't be. So it's a level of security.
So what if someone manages to steal or clone your card, mm-hmm. they won't be able to get access to your. So is it a separate bank account? Is it?
I don't really know.
Yeah, I'll have to look into it.
Give it a Google, Dave.
Yeah, interesting.
but good question.
Yeah, no. So there you are. I thought I'd ask one.
That's good. Dewi, Barocca or vitamin C tablets every morning. Yeah, some people do. I used to, and something I do at altitude, and obviously get. This is medication, so do speak to your GP about taking any of this, get professional advice. But I used to take an aspirin every morning at altitude. Now, it's not like it makes a massive difference. It could be more kind of psychological. But because obviously, at altitude, your blood is kind of thickening. For me, it was using aspirin as a blood thinner, just helps with the blood flow. And I've always done it. And, not saying this is a reason why I don't get altitude sickness, so I haven't historically, but it has helped. Obviously, you've got to go slow. You've got to still drink plenty of water. But I know a lot of high altitude mountaineers, just people we follow, in the industry, and they take an aspirin a day. Just something.
I've never took the aspirin.
Headaches a bay.
Just paracetamol for me.
Yeah, you do use the paracetamol, don't you? Mm. Really good. Card use and security could be a topic for a TTI. It is, Jerome. Exactly. Well, look, I feel, I hope we've answered. I know there's a lot of coverage there. I hope it's been useful today. Dave, any final thoughts from you, mate?
I think what I'm feeling that I think I want to do at some point is like get the proper bag on the video, you know, though we did before, like, like get that, and I'll even weigh it to prove that it can be done. But no, actually, you know, I think this kit these days, you know, you've only got to Google, you know, get 10 tabs open and Google 10 Everest Base Camp lists. You'll see 10 different recommendations for everything from your head to your toe.
Yeah.
I think the main thing is you don't have to spend hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pounds on every item you do. Just kind of choose specifically where to deploy the budget. So with us, I think it's always like a really good pair of boots, good underwear. You know, trousers are trousers, but maybe you want a warm pair. So I think, just be kind of tactical where you deploy your budget, because otherwise you'll end up walking around with £1,000 worth of gear on you that perhaps you could have done for 300.
Yeah. Just look at Jane. I thought that was going to be a Jerry Springer moment.
I used to say, remember, take care, most importantly, take care of yourselves and each other.
Just before we go as well, just something, obviously, I know we're not around to answer questions all of the time, but something that we've kind of created, it's kind of been development for some time now, just that we wanted an easier way for people to find answers to questions. So what we've done is we've created a little bit of a chat facility on the website called Yet AI. Sure, you can see where that came from, Yet AI.
Yet I
seems like some accent. Anyway, I'll drop it in. You'll be the first ever trekkers to see these. But there we go. It's a page on our website. It's got a little bit of a chat bot there that you can basically, it's trained on all of our previous Tuesday tune-ins, all of our podcast episodes, all of our blogs on our website, all of our kit lists over the last kind of several years. So it's got a lot of information in there. Now, obviously, this is, we'd like it to be 100% accurate. There are some information in there that could be quite old.
What if it starts to launch the nukes? And
it doesn't do that. It's only about Evertrek. It's only about the information. And it's, if you've got any questions when we're not around, then it's a little tool that people can find stuff on the website, because it shows you where it's come from. So have a little look. You can ask it anything. Even you can ask who Dave is. It'll tell you who Dave is.
what if it becomes self-aware, like it Skynet? Doesn't.
Don't put worry in people's minds. AI is fine.
Yeah.
But it's trained on specific information around Evertrek. Have a little look. Obviously, more than happy for you to test it out and break it. Let us know so we can change it. It's a nice, it's a kind of early design tool, but it's something that essentially the reason it's there is for you just to answer your questions when we're not around. So hopefully you find it useful. Obviously we'll be sharing it. It's on the website. So let us know how you get on.
Awesome.
Great stuff. But we'll be back next week. We promise it won't be about kit. I think we covered a lot of that today, but you never know. But hopefully as well, you enter the Kilimanjaro competition. I'm sure over the next few weeks, we'll be talking a bit about Kilimanjaro, as you can appreciate. So if you see a lot of articles floating around about Killy, Andrew Rooks? Is this an actual answer now? Is it okay? Dave was one of the key figures. You're a key figure, mate.
Oh, well, apparently, promotion.
Episodes related to adventures. Dave has darker hair and more tattoos than an incarcerated gang member.
Yeah,
that's quite accurate. But he's described as being much lovelier than a gang member too. His significant part contribute to the fun, informative content, engaging. Mate, this is good.
Well,
he knows you.
I take back everything I said about Skynet then. Me and Yet AI are now best friends.
Brilliant. Didn't even mention his knee.
That's half my identity.
Hope you found it useful. Obviously, if you want to find out about Dave, but about anything at all, test it and break it. I said, Bri's going to be on there now trying to break it. But great stuff. Have fun. And we'll see you next week.
Take it easy, guys. Bye.
Bye.